Welcome, everybody, to the Black Stick Reviews. Professor Dumas said, I'm here to introduce our first reader, a lovely lady named Hallie. I've been in two classes with Hallie this semester, not only Short Story 2, but also a Russian Lit course. The first I heard of Hallie Twiss was when I walked into our creative writing course and Camille over here said, oh yeah, Hallie Twiss, she's a really good writer. She made a face like that. She made it sound like it was really serious. So I got a little nervous. But then Hallie walked into the room and it was all fine because it turns out she's great. Camille's just intimidating. What? But all in all, Hallie is a really great writer. I've loved to watch her grow over the course of this semester. We all told kind of an oral story, a story with words, at the very beginning of the semester, and I really loved hers. I had an instant pang of jealousy, but then I realized that writing is communal. So then, you know, kind of remedied that, didn't it? And it's been an honor to watch her grow and to be in class with her. She's provided lots of entertainment for class and also made some really important and insightful comments and work. And I am so happy to know her. She has a story that she's going to read an excerpt from, I believe. Otherwise, we'd be here for a long time. Called Fresh. It's called Fresh by Hallie Twiss. I loved reading all the different drafts of it, and I think that the final product turned out so well. So, without further ado, please welcome my girl Hallie Twiss.
Thank you. I'm super embarrassed now, but thank you, Kira. Okay. Okay, so as Kira said, this is from my story called Fresh, which is in the Black Stick Review. It was January when Tom arrived, and snow covered every inch of the island. The small round mountains blended into the gray sky, their tops speckled with windblown trees barely hanging on by their roots. If you were to climb to the top, you might discover small frozen pools and moss-covered stones buried beneath the frozen white, but few people ventured to summit the peaks while the harsh winds were blowing. The park was closed at this time of year anyway, and the town was quiet. Maine was asleep. As Tom drove through Bar Harbor at 3 a.m., his snow tires clutching desperately at the ice-packed pavement, he thought about Edward. Edward was probably tucked away in his study, fireplace roaring, bundled in his red flannel robe under an expensive fleece throw. Tom had always teased him, saying his home felt more like a museum of artifacts from Nordstrom and Anthropology, but he secretly relished the feeling of being surrounded by luxury, the heaviness of an immaculately soft blanket when he was feeling too light. Edward was probably reading the New York Times or Tin House or one of his leather-bound first editions. He had an actual library with a special display case for these treasures, which he tracked down on eBay or found at estate sales in Connecticut or Rhode Island or Cambridge. Tom loved going to those melancholy events where the widows looked sad, but the garage sailors and the collectors couldn't hide their giddiness. Edward was probably not thinking of Tom. Tom refocused himself on the task at hand. Find Lopez Point Road, bury himself in Maine, hibernate in the safe confines of a cabin in the White Woods, but he realized he had passed his turn long ago. By the time he finally found the tiny log cabin, it was closer to 4 a.m. He had to park at the end of the driveway because nothing had been plowed or shoveled all winter, and the snow was about 3 feet deep and encrusted with ice. Tom grabbed his bags, an old carpet bag full of clothes, and a tan leather briefcase with his MacBook nestled amongst a mess of research notes. He left the box of books to survive the night in the truck. He struggled up the driveway, a slight incline about 300 meters long. By the time he made it to the front door, he felt numb with cold and barely managed to fish the key out from his back pocket with his gloveless hand. The inside of the cabin was dark and dusty, but beneath the dust, he could tell it had been warm and welcoming in the recent past. All of the furniture was upholstered with dark green fabric, the same shade as the trees outside, the dust simulating the effect of the snow, making everything appear muted. Every other surface was the same polished dark wood. It seemed to be one fluid piece of material. A few watercolors still hung on the wall, depictions of streams and waterfalls and birds swirling in a blue sky above the sea, the initials of Tom's grandmother staining the corners. The cabin consisted of one open room, a tiny bathroom in one corner, and a loft above the living area, which hid a double bed behind a slightly ragged green curtain at the top of a hand-carved ladder. Luckily, Tom had thought to bring a sleeping bag, and he unrolled it and stuffed it into the surprisingly cozy sleeping space. He didn't have the energy to light a fire, or read, or dust, or do anything but change into a sweatsuit and climb into bed, but his brain wouldn't slow down enough to sleep. His thoughts turned to his research, his unfinished dissertation, his excuse for coming here. Edward's face began to creep its way back into his mind, but he closed his eyes and turned onto his stomach and tried to think about what he would write the next day. He remembered that first he would have to clean the place up, unpack his clothes, maybe buy some groceries. In this moment, the 6 months he had planned to live in the cabin stretched before him, as impenetrable as the expanse of icy ocean only a few miles away. Thank you.